Well, here we are for another episode of the Fantasy Sports Rants Podcast. It's your host, Chris Heil, on the microphone tonight. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at TheGrizzlyBeard. And this show is brought to you by the Silent Fantasy Sports Network. You can call in 646-478-4679. If you have any of your fantasy questions, you have some start-sit questions, you have any type of fantasy football question at all, I'd be glad to kind of help you out with that. So week three is now officially in the books. Last night was the Monday night game, and I can say that it was the first half was really not exciting, that I fell asleep, so I missed all, which I think was the exciting stuff in the second half. I never really fall asleep for football. It's one of those things where I have so many players. I have DFS lineups. I always have something going on. It was just one of those weird things where I was just so tired and it was just so blah that I just couldn't get into it. So one thing I wanted to talk about, and this is something that maybe you don't think about when it comes to fantasy, or this is still something that really isn't talked about a whole lot, and it's snap counts and what these guys, how many snaps these guys get in the game. And so one of the things you want to know is, you know, is this player getting in the game? How much are they in the game? Different things like that. And then if they're in the game, such as like a running back, when they're in, are they getting the ball? Are they running with the ball? Are they just being blocking? Are they being targeted when they're passed to? So one thing I wanted to kind of break down a little bit was probably the number one waiver wire pickup this week is going to be Carlos Williams. So far he has 66 snaps on the year, so that means he's averaging 22 snaps a game, which isn't bad. Of those snaps, he's getting the ball 36.4% of the time. If you're in PPR leagues, you're going to want to know this. That means he's being targeted when he's to catch the ball 4.5% of the time also when he's on the field. So his touch percentage, that means catching, rushing, is 39.4. That kind of gives you an idea of, that means if he's out there on the field, there's a 39% chance that he's going to have the ball in his hands. Might sound okay to you. Just to put it into you, consideration, I know that he's splitting time, different things like that. He's on a different role. Guys like Joseph Randall, his touch percentage when he's on the field is 62%. Chris Ivory, 57%. Chris Johnson, I mean, he's splitting time with David Johnson. But Chris Johnson, his touch percentage is 59% of the time. And that's when they're on the field. So these are just kind of the things you need to know about. You know, I could break down different things where, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's throwing the ball 51% of the time. They're more 50-50 this year than kind of what people were maybe expecting. But a little bit of that has to do with the departure of Jordy Nelson. So we'll kind of break into a little more of the snap counts and kind of like surprises. One person, when you have a wide receiver and you talk about these huge like wide receiver ones, you want them to get the ball a lot. And so most guys will, you know, they get about 10-15% of the share, maybe 7% of the catches. Julio Jones is getting 25% of targets. That is huge. Absolute monster. And I know he's just like on a tear this season. And he's one of those players, if you didn't get him in the draft, maybe he got picked before you, if you finished late in the game, whatever, that's fine. One thing you need to know, though, is you need to go after him. Trade whatever you can for him. He's one of those guys where maybe you have Demaryius Thomas, and you can pair up Demaryius Thomas, and you can throw in someone else that's kind of like a Duke Johnson. Demaryius Thomas, Duke Johnson for Julio. The guy may not take it. He's on his Julio love. But at the same time, he's like, man, Peyton Manning's reliable. Demaryius is reliable. I love that fit. That's something they might go for. And so that's just kind of one of those trade things that you need to look for. Julio Jones, actually, when you're talking about his snaps and different things like that, he's getting about 59 snaps a game, which is not bad. But he's out there 80% of the time. So of the snaps, he's out there for 80% of the snaps. That's okay. Honestly, that's nothing. That's really not that great. You want your guy in a little more. I know he's got to take breaks and different things like that, but like a guy, older player like Larry Fitzgerald, he's getting the same amount of snaps. Julio Jones is getting has 59.3% of this or 59.3 snaps through the games. Larry Fitzgerald has 60, but the difference here is the snap percentage. Julio Jones is out on the field for 79.8% of the snaps. Larry Fitzgerald's out there for 91% of the snaps. To me, that's a huge difference. And one of the downfalls, not that Julio Jones has a downfall, but that's one of the things that can be frustrating as far as a fantasy owner. You want your player to be out there to make these plays whenever possible. You hate when you have a guy like that splits carry, stuff like that, because you want him to be out there as much as possible. So we'll go ahead and let's see another guy that maybe is a little comparable here. This is actually a really good one. Jamaal Charles. He's out there for 56 snaps a game, which is quite a bit for a running back. That means he's out there for 82% of the plays. That's really huge, in my opinion. For a guy to be out there that much, and you could say, yeah, he's a three-down back. I get it, but how many three-down backs are like that? He's the guy who's just out there the whole entire time. He's not switching around. He's just in there. And just to be kind of on the same page, Adrian Peterson, his snap percent is 68%. So it's one of those things where you can see the huge difference between some of these elite players and some of these non-elite players. Quarterbacks, their snap percents are always going to be high. Carlos Hyde, 60% of the time he's on the field. Let's see who else we have here. Latavius Murray, 68%. So you can see there, when a guy like Jamaal Charles is being out there 82% of the time, that's huge, and that's what you want in your fantasy guys. I mentioned the thing about Julio Jones being out there not as much at 79%. A guy like Antonio Brown, 92% of the time he's out there. Again, you want your player to be out there as much as humanly possible, and so that's one of those things you really want to look at. And so, to me, looking at snap percentages is a big thing. A guy that I've kind of been tossing around with other people is Rishard Matthews. People are saying, oh, don't waste your waiver wire pick on him. I did. Last week I picked him up, and he, in my opinion, is the best trade bait you can have. He's thrown three consistent weeks. I'm hoping maybe for one more, and then you can sell him for max value. And that's really what majority of fantasy is being able to call these guys or seeing where there's little trends with guys. You jump on them before they do, and then you sell them because they are so desperate for a wide receiver, and they look like, man, this guy's consistent. I need him. But I went ahead and I paired him up with someone like Greg Olsen, and I might be able to capitalize on someone like Gronk. You could say, man, no guy would do that. But if some guy really needs a wide receiver that badly, they're getting Greg Olsen. They're like, it's not that huge of a step down. To me, Rishard Matthews will probably never enter my team, and that's just one of those situations where I can capitalize on it. He's out on 68% of the plays. One of the big downfalls of him, he's being targeted for 14 or 10%. Let's see here. Yeah, he's being targeted 14% of the time when he's out in the field. So, it's not high like Julio, but I think that's pretty realistic. 14% of the targets is a pretty realistic number compared to other guys like Rob Gronkowski's 14%, AJ Green's 13%. This Julio is a beast. When I was talking about being targeted 25% of the time, Steve Smith Sr. is another guy being targeted crazy amounts, and he's being targeted 22%. Again, these are those little stats that you need to kind of look at when it comes to fantasy, and a lot of people just kind of just shrug off. It's whatever. It's not too important to them. But when you're wondering, why is this guy not getting the ball? Why is this guy not getting the ball? I look at his numbers. His numbers are good. Well, you need to look at stuff like that, too. Those are some of the big things when it comes to fantasy football is why is this guy, why he's capitalizing, why this guy isn't, and just little things like that. James Jones, he is out there 92% of the time. Now, here's the interesting part. he's only being targeted 7% of the time when he's on the field. He's out there 92% of the time, though. He's on the field a lot, just not being targeted that much. When he's targeted, though, he makes it count. Ameer Abdullah fans, I understand you're getting worried. I would, too. But let's look at the stats here with him. He's one of the guys I checked work that I really wanted to kind of talk about here. When he's in the game, he's getting about 35 snaps a game. Pretty solid. You know, he's up to 35% of the time, or for 35 snaps. Now let's look at what percentage that is compared. He's out there 43% of the time. And what people are calling a three-down back, a running back by committee, you know, you have Theo Riddick, you have Joyke Bell. I think Joyke's on his way out. You have to look at Ameer Abdullah in this situation, and he's getting the ball 26% of the time when he's on the field. His touch percentage is going to start climbing even higher. Yes, he's out there. You know, you could say he's getting the ball 50% of the time he's out there, but that number will increase by him getting more time with Joyke Bell starting to go down. Joyke Bell has not impressed anyone and hasn't really done anything to impress anyone. So this was just something I kind of wanted to touch on real quick and kind of go over with you guys. I find that stuff like that very interesting. I like to look up those different things. One thing I really wanted to go over with everyone this week was kind of it's just matchups and different things like that where people – one of the big things you need to do is look at matchups. When you're like, I don't know if I should start someone like Danny Woodhead or I should start – let me give you a good one here. So, well, it'll be like a little name game. So, it'll be like Danny Woodhead or someone who's similar to him, like a Giovanni Bernard. Most people would probably say, you know, it depends on the league, but PPR Giovanni Bernard is still money. He's still doing a really good job. But in hindsight, you have to look at this, too, is what defense are they playing? San Diego is going against Cleveland. Cleveland has been atrocious against the run. Giovanni Bernard's going against Kansas City. And just to let you know, Kansas City is the fourth best-ranked defense against running backs. And so little things like this are what you want to look at. When you're talking about your big running backs, your Adrian Peterson, your Matt Forte, Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, those are the running backs you don't really need to worry about. C.J. Anderson's been kind of a bust this year. Aaron Foster's one of those guys you can just plug in and play, and I love the matchup that he's coming in. He's coming in against the worst defense against running backs. So if Aaron Foster comes in this week, oh my gosh, he's going to be in a ton of my DFS lineups. He is just going to go absolutely nuts. I understand he's got somewhat of a high price, but he's going to pay up for it very, very quickly in that game. He will go absolutely wild. But that's one of the things you need to kind of look at, too. When you're looking at guys like maybe a Shane Vereen versus Isaiah Crowell, this is a great one. Crowell gets the touchdown carries, but he's also going against the 31st-ranked defense against running backs. He's going against the second-worst defense. Shane Vereen going against the 7th-ranked running backs, or defense against running backs in Buffalo. So I like to look at these different things. To me, they're really helpful. So let's go ahead and we'll kind of build a lineup here together, kind of go over the prices, what we liked about the prices for this week, and let's see what we can do here. So I'm pulling it up now. Oops. And so this is kind of what's been fun for me is I have built several lineups already, and one guy I said I wanted to keep in was Arian Foster. So that's the first one we're going to plug in. He's at Atlanta for $8,000. It looks like he's going to be able to play this week, and this would be a great week for him to play. So we're going to put him in our lineup, and we'll kind of see what we can do from here. You know, one guy that I know a lot of people are really high on this week is Carson Palmer. I think this is the week that you kind of want to fade Carson Palmer, in my opinion. He's going against a good defense against quarterbacks. St. Louis has done a really good job so far this season. They're actually the fourth best against quarterbacks. Carson Palmer is one of those guys I think I'm going to fade this week. And I'd rather maybe go for someone else that, like, and this is who I like. I like Matt Ryan in this situation. He's at an $8,400 price. He's about the same as Carson. You have Russell Wilson right around that price range, Cam Newton. You have all these guys, and I think Matt Ryan has just as good of a ceiling for that situation. So we'll go ahead and put Matt Ryan in there. Let's go ahead and lock that in. So we have Matt Ryan as our quarterback. Then we have Arian Foster. Now, I mentioned Danny Woodhead earlier. Now, if you're playing on FanDuel, and that's how I'm doing all my pricing, is off FanDuel. He gets a half a point per catch. Danny Woodhead is going to be able to run between the tackles and catch a lot of passes. I love this matchup here. Actually, I just love this team. This team that I'm building, I just assembled, is just like I'm drooling over, and I just think it's one of those great matchups you can have. Now let's go into a player that I wanted to kind of put a stack in this contest. I selected Matt Ryan, so I'm going to take Julio Jones. I'm going to continue to take Julio Jones. He is my number one projected wide receiver. He's just getting targeted, as I mentioned, so many times that you have to just plug him and play him. He's one of those, you have to do it. It's, you have to have some type of share in him because he's been so consistent. Now, you do have to understand that Houston is good against wide receivers. They're one of the eighth best ranked teams against that. However, Julio Jones is part of the exception of that. One of the worst defenses in NFL right now is the Chicago Bears. So I am going to try to get as much play into that as I can. I understand if you're going to do a Derek Carr, Amari Cooper stack, that makes sense. I like it. You save money on the Carr. One big thing you need to know, though, is the Patriots are on a bye here. So, Gronk, you're not paying up for tight end this week. Tom Brady, you're not going to be able to pay up for it. And Deion Lewis, again, these are players that you were able to kind of maybe save on with Lewis, but you're going to have to build, I feel like a Patriots receiver, like constantly, and I've had tons of shares of them. So, Amari Cooper is another plug for me. And then I'm going to put in Dante Moncrief. His price tag's at $6,300, still, you know, almost $1,000 under Amari Cooper. And the thing I like about him is he's getting targets. He's pretty much the number two wide receiver in Indianapolis. And Andrew Luck, you have to figure, is going to continue to throw the ball. They haven't changed their style of play really that much. I would say they actually run the ball a little more than usual. However, I still like Dante Moncrief in this situation. Tight end, you're going to see this all over. You're going to have a million people say, hey, this is the smart play. This is my love for the week. Martellus Bennett. It's going to be all over the place. And he's one of those chalk plays that you really just kind of have to accept. You don't want to fade him just to be different. I understand if you want to do it in like those huge GPPs. But he's one of those players, he's going to be as safe as they come. There's already reports that Jay Cutler might play this week. Oakland absolutely got burnt last week against Cleveland Browns tight end. They've been burnt every week. They are the worst defense against tight ends. Martellus Bennett is going to throw up a monster week. And then, you know, you can do different things. I have Hauschka as my number one kicker. They're playing against Detroit. And then, you know, your defense, you can just kind of assemble however. And we'll kind of look at the defenses to see who we like in the situation. And so we're looking right around. We have about $4,200 left. So we're not going to get a top-notch defense here. We're going to get maybe more of those bottom ones. But you can get, let's see what we have here. All right. Sorry about that, guys. So they're like maybe like a bottom like six defense. Defenses that I kind of like, I'm okay with like the Washington Redskins defense against Philly. They're still going to have their troubles. You know, Baltimore Ravens against Pittsburgh is almost a must play with the, they're at 43. I know that's a Thursday night game, but maybe get in some of those Thursday night contests just so you can take that defense. Baltimore's good and Pittsburgh is awful. And so you just have to look at something like that. That's to me a very smart play. And one thing I like to do, and I know a lot of people maybe don't like to do this, but plug in a lineup on a Thursday night match. You don't have to play your players on Thursday. You don't even have to put any of those players in. Some people love, and I mean love, they will do like all Thursday night players. It's crazy. I don't know why they do it, but they do it. Every week it happens. You look at who's in first, and it's the guy that has eight players in the game, and you just sit there and laugh because he's got no week or no chance the fall, or come Sunday. However, I love to check out the ownership percentages. You know, I do a lot of like the $1 or $2 lineups. I'll do maybe two or three of those in just kind of different tournaments and see where the ownership percentages are. See what defense is hot, is grabbed the most, which ones aren't. And this kind of gives you an idea of what to expect for the coming week. So there you have it. You have my lineup there, a lineup that I like. And so we're going to go ahead and, you know, it's a short podcast, but it kind of gets the point. I gave you vital information, and so we can kind of wrap up from there. So I really want to thank you guys for listening in. You, of course, listen to the podcast on the Silent Fantasy Sports Network. My name's Chris Heil, on Twitter at The Grizzly Beard. And thank you all for listening to the Fantasy Sports Rants podcast. Have a great night.